All right. 2 weeks in a row.
I know. Look at us.
Look at us. We're doing it.
We're back.
We're back.
No, we back.
Okay. Sorry. So this week we're talking about grief.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is kind of a heavy topic. And there's a lot to kind of, a lot of different aspects that we want to talk about. But to kick it off, I mean, you went through some serious grief over the last couple of years. And at times still going through it, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I lost my mom, gosh, October 2021. I always get emotional about it, no matter what, no matter how long it's been.
I don't think that goes away.
No, probably not. Gosh dang.
Man, I made you cry already.
That's awesome. I know. That's always your goal. Check. Oh, man. Okay. So I lost my mom pretty unexpectedly, almost 3 years ago. And she was 59, so pretty young. So when I say unexpected, I mean we had maybe a few weeks of knowing like she could.
Yeah, it was like a month.
Having like the potential. So she actually had COVID, which I hate to even say or bring up. It feels like it's so politicized and it's just something I like to like not even get into or really say or share. But yeah, she actually passed away from COVID.
People just have their preconceived notions about it.
Yeah.
There's always a side.
Yeah. It feels like it for sure.
Or an opinion.
And I just feel like since she passed, it's something I just refuse to even like entertain.
Yeah.
Like there's no conversation for me with anyone outside of like my circle.
It just doesn't happen. How did that affect the grieving process for you?
Her dying from COVID.
Yeah. And it being such a, kind of hot topic at the time and very divisive topic. Did that change the grieving process for you?
I mean, I have nothing to compare it to.
I guess, yeah.
Besides losing like a grandparent, which to me hasn't been comparable.
Right.
So there's some added frustration with it being like such a political thing. So she had gotten COVID and went to the hospital, her and my dad both actually at the same time. And, you know, he ended up recovering from it and she just continued to get worse. And what made it so hard was not being able to like go see her. So that part of all the politics was really difficult. Mm-hmm. But as far as like anything else goes, I mean, there was comments made, you know, about her dying from COVID, even from family, really hurtful things. Like, I don't even really want to get into it, but yeah. So I feel like it did make things a little bit harder. And I feel like there's a part of me that ended up like hardening myself more because of it. But it's so interesting because honestly, like it surprised me how little people ask me about her or about how she died or anything or even bring her up.
Like during the process or now?
Honestly, like I would say even within a month.
Yeah.
That like nobody, it kind of just like stopped being a conversation for anybody outside of like my immediate world, which is really interesting to me. My sisters and I talk about this all the time of like what an uplifting time it was, like the few weeks after she passed, even really just like the week after, like, it feeling like we were really carried during that time. And then something weird happens within a couple months. And I saw a quote somewhere. I don't even remember. Somebody said it, or who had experienced grief, about how you kind of get accidentally forgotten. Mm-hmm. And I had never felt anything more true before. I don't think people intend to forget about you or what you're going through, but you're accidentally forgotten.
Yeah. And I think it can be easy for people, like obviously in that moment when it just happens, people kind of drop everything and show up because they see the need, the immediate need there. Mm-hmm. And people did. You had so many people show up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the accidentally forgotten part, I feel like comes from people going back. It's not an everyday thing for them after that.
Yeah.
So it's not top of mind. Yeah. And it's understandable.
It is understandable. And it's still hurtful.
Yeah.
Like it hurts. Yeah. It was hard to like go through that alone. So my experience was my mom being in the hospital for 3-4 weeks. I can't even remember exactly anymore. Me being in Arizona because we live in Utah. Mm-hmm. So I was in Arizona basically that whole time. As soon as I heard, as soon as I was struggling to get a hold of my mom within a couple of days of her being in the hospital, I thought, I need to go down there. I need to go like help her in whatever way I can to keep her life going. Because like I said, her and my dad were both in the hospital, you know, and they had a business to run. And I was like, if I can't get a hold of her on her phone, which never happens. Anybody who knows her, like she was super reachable. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'm going to go down and like just do whatever I can to keep their business afloat, to keep their life going, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was down there 6 weeks total, I think.
Yeah.
It was a long time.
Uh-huh.
So between the time of her passing, having her funeral, I was still in Arizona for a couple weeks after to just kind of help my dad and all of that. So between the time of her passing and me finally coming home, it was basically like it hadn't ever happened here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's like a space where people feel uncomfortable, like they know you've been through something pretty like heavy and don't know how to talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm. And again, I feel like it's understandable, like not wanting to trigger someone.
Totally.
Like, if I bring this up, are they going to break down in tears right now? And then it's my fault.
I mean, maybe.
And maybe that happens. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's needed.
Yeah.
And the people that can hold that space can provide such support, or could have provided such support for you going through that.
Yeah, for sure. I learned like quickly who could hold support or hold space for that and really support me. Mm-hmm. And it was like almost like I could tell immediately, oh, they've been through this.
Uh-huh.
They understand grief. They know how to show up. Because when I was in it, I couldn't articulate what I needed. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I mean, I've been in therapy since I was 15. I mean, off and on. So I have learned a lot. And when it came to grief, I was so lost. I had no idea how to navigate this.
It was something you had never experienced.
Something I'd never experienced. But also, like, I've got a lot of tools. I know how to handle a lot of stuff. Like this was some, like a whole new ball game. And I was like, I don't know what the rules are. I don't know how to navigate this. 1 minute I'm crying, I'm upset. The next I'm just depressed and want to sleep. The next I'm like raging, you know, like it felt like I was on a constant roller coaster. And I'm sure you can like speak to kind of that experience because you saw it, the other side of it. And you probably felt so lost and didn't know how to show up and support me.
Yeah, I mean, it was challenging for sure because there was times where it felt like there was nothing I could do.
Right.
And I wanted to take the pain away from you, but I obviously couldn't.
Yeah.
And like sometimes I didn't handle it well. Sometimes I took it very personally that you weren't accepting of the support that I was giving.
Yeah.
And then made that about me when really you were just like, you had no idea what you were even feeling or what to do or how to feel it or how to not feel or whatever it was. And that was, so I can empathize with those people that choose not to like even try.
Yeah.
I can empathize with that. Yeah. And I chose to keep trying because I love you. I don't want to see you in pain.
Thank you.
And even if at times I felt the brunt of it or it felt like it was that rage or that sadness or whatever it was got turned on me, I was willing to take that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a time, although, like I said, at times I didn't handle it well. Sometimes I tried to set a boundary with you and be like, hey, you can't talk to me that way. That's not okay.
Which, fair enough.
I think that's valid. And you're experiencing heavy, heavy grief. So trying to, I think what I could have done different that maybe could have helped the situation more and brought more connection between us is looked outside of you for that support and just called a friend and said, hey, I know like it's not her. I know she's grieving. This is what I'm feeling though. It's triggering me in this way.
Yeah.
And I think I sometimes didn't handle it all that well, but I was still willing to keep trying and keep trying and keep trying because like the only way out is through.
Yeah.
And grief was something that I was much more familiar with than you.
Yeah.
One
second.
Go ahead.
Something that I've thought about quite a bit over the last couple of years and like as I've felt into more of like, what is it that I really needed in those times? Like I really figured out what I didn't need from people or you or really anyone. I needed to be allowed to just be where I was at. And honestly, like I spent a lot of time in bed. I just did. Like I was sad. And like the thing I wanted the most was to talk about her.
Yeah. As hard as that was.
It was easier to talk about her than to just sit and think about her by myself. That's one thing that, like, I really appreciated. I had a friend who saw me at church on Mother's Day and, like, wasn't afraid to, like, catch my eye when it, like, I walked in and was, like, gave me, like, a knowing smile. And, you know, said, like, I've been thinking about you today, wondering, like, how you're doing. You know, and I didn't know this at the time, but I just knew. I'm like, she's been through something. She has to have to, like, feel comfortable enough to acknowledge my mom on Mother's Day, like my first Mother's Day after she passed. You know, I realized later on, like, she had lost a baby, like had a baby, and they passed like that day or within hours. I can't remember exactly, but so I'm like, of course she was able to show up for me and hold space for me so beautifully because she's experienced grief. Mm-hmm. She gets it. And another thing that I realized in going through it is there were times that, like, yeah, going out and doing stuff was fun to get my mind off of it. Mm-hmm. But really what I would have loved is somebody just, like, crawl in bed with me. Like, let's watch a sad movie together if that's what I want. I just felt like all too often people wanted to, like, pull me out of it. Like, here, let's get you some supplements. Let's do this, let's do that. And it's like, I just like don't. I feel like you're almost telling me there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't be this sad and I shouldn't be in bed. And
like there's something to fix that.
I shouldn't be feeling the way I'm feeling. Instead of just like walking with me. Like, let's go on a walk. Let's talk about your mom if you want to. But I think that that comes back to, as a society, like, people don't know what to do, what to say when somebody loses somebody very close to them. Mm-hmm. And I want to change that. Like, yeah. I want to hear from other people who have lost someone and, like, what is it that worked for you? Because I know it's going to be different from me. I'm sure of it. But so far, like, from others that I've talked to who have lost someone, they want to talk about them. Yeah. They want to be asked about them. And I give them that opportunity to talk to me about their loved one. Like, tell me about him. What was your favorite thing? What do you miss the most? And if we both end up crying, then great. Like, no big deal. Why are we so scared to make each other cry? Like, the intention isn't to make each other sad, no. But let's connect over it, right?
Yeah.
So I felt like I wanted to, like, open up this conversation of, like, why are we so scared to, like, walk the path with people who have lost someone in whatever way they've lost someone? Because your experience with grief is completely different from my experience of grief. I lost my mom, mm-hmm. one of my best friends I've known my whole life. My big connection to the world, to earth, to my being, my mom, you know. And I know not everybody feels that same way about their mom, but for me,
that's who she represented for you.
That's who she was, you know. And so, yeah, I think it's important. Let's talk about the ways we can support each other in grief and different kinds of grief.
Yeah, because there's different kinds of grief, and if you've been through it, you can also relate. You can also show up for someone who is going through it, even though it's not the same kind. Like this, the kind that I went through it wasn't a parent, it was a friend.
Yeah.
That I had met in rehab. I'd only known him a month, but when you spend 24/7 for a month with someone sharing the deepest, darkest parts of who you are with them, and them sharing it with you, you develop a connection, a bond.
Right.
And anyone who has experienced that knows what I'm saying when I talk about that, mm-hmm. how quickly you can develop a connection with someone. And we woke up one morning and he was missing, and I went and looked in his room and he had taken his life. And I think the thing that I experienced the most was a sense of denial and guilt.
Mm. Say more about that.
This ever-present question of, I could have done more. I could have saved him if I'd have just had that conversation with him, which there wasn't a specific conversation that I even was even thinking about that I could have had with him. I didn't feel like there was a regret of, oh, if I'd have just said that thing that I was thinking about, but I didn't say it. There was none of that. But being the one who found him and being the one who slept, like my bed was closest to his bed in a different room, but I was the closest person to him. There was just a sense of like, I could have saved him. And that denial hit immediately. I mean, he was passed hours.
He had been passed for hours.
Yeah, when I found him. Mm-hmm. But the denial in my brain was so real that I thought in that moment he was still alive and I was trying to save him. I was trying to like stop what was happening, which had already happened. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the hardest part for me, was just that sense of denial and really accepting that there was nothing I could have done.
Yeah.
That it was his choice. And I can empathize with his choice. I've not necessarily been there to that level where I've attempted, but I've been close.
Yeah.
At several times in my life. And it's a scary place to be. And the thing is with suicide, is it only takes one moment.
Yeah.
And you can't take it back. There's times where I know I was close, but when I think back on it, it almost scares me more because I didn't realize how close I was.
Yeah.
That it literally could have been a split second of feeling an extra level of overwhelm and helplessness and hopeless and alone that would have done it. So I don't judge him. I don't judge anyone for making that choice. But the impact, I mean, I've seen the impact that his choice had on so many people, the ripple effect that goes through people's lives, went through my life. It affected you, my family, extended family, like it goes beyond just like your immediate circle.
Yeah.
And it was a similar thing with your mom. Like the ripple effect is huge.
Yeah.
And now when we hear of other people, especially for you hearing of other people who have lost their moms, like it affects, there's a ripple effect there. Like there's nothing like it. There's nothing like having experienced grief, like hearing of someone close to you passing, or seeing it affect someone else that you love. And so when you were experiencing it, that's what I was going through, was I can relate on so many levels of how confusing it is, how bipolar it is, how just insane. You feel like a crazy person.
Yeah.
But the only way out of grief is through it.
Yeah. You can't bypass it.
Can't bypass it. You can't put it on a shelf and pretend that you're not feeling it.
Yeah. That was one thing I remember with you. You came home a week after.
Yeah.
I mean, you were meant to come home then anyways.
Yeah.
But you didn't avoid it at all. Like you... Anytime it came up, you felt it and you got support around it. And it was at least a year or two of just sitting with it, processing it, talking about it, feeling about it, all the things.
And it wasn't every day.
No,
I mean, initially.
Initially it was.
For the first probably year, at least a year, I thought about him every day.
Yeah. And I mean, I would say same for me.
Yeah.
That I think I cried probably a little bit every day.
Mm-hmm. For at least a year.
For at least a year. Yeah. And I think that it's made all the difference for me in allowing myself to be where I was at. Mm-hmm. And I think you too.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted you to talk to me about it. Like, I didn't shy away from it. It was like, let's talk about it. Let's talk about him. Let's like, let me hold you while you cry. Like, mm-hmm. you went through a hard thing.
Yeah.
And actually looking at it now, I'm like, dang, I had no idea how to support you or show up for you in that. And I did a pretty dang good job.
Yeah, you did.
You know, I think I was, you know, a little bit unsure at times how to show up for you, but.
Yeah. But you didn't shy away from it.
No.
You can be unsure about it and still show up.
Yeah.
And still be there and just offer. And I think that's the difference is, like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It wasn't perfect the way that I showed up for you. Mm-mm. But I was always there.
Yeah.
I never, like, I don't know that I ever complained or asked you to be, or give any inkling of, like, hey, when is this going to be over?
No.
I just give, basically, not that you needed it, my permission for you to be exactly where you were at.
Yeah. And I wonder how much of it, like, was helpful for you in knowing I was still, like, doing my work, you know, because I was still allowing myself to be sad, sleep, all the things, be depressed. And a month after she passed, like, I hired a coach. And yeah. I was like, I'm not just going to sit here and not do anything. Like, yeah. I know I still need to work through this and work through life. And there's other things going on still. This isn't the only thing in my life right now. Like, there was a lot of other things going on. So I wonder if you were able to hold the space you did, because I wasn't just in bed doing nothing all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't feel the need to, like, ask me, okay, are we almost done with this? Because I was still working on things. I was still trying to, like, process it.
Yeah. I don't know that I necessarily, like, consciously thought of that.
Yeah.
But thinking back, like, yeah, I mean, that helps to see that you're making progress. Yeah. And I feel like the approach that I had, the thought that I had was, who am I to tell you when you're done?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it's like to lose a mom or either parent.
Yeah.
Like, who am I to tell you that you've grieved enough and now you need to get back to real life and living life exactly like nothing has changed?
Yeah.
Like, it changes your life.
It did.
Absolutely. Like, life is never the same again. And so me saying, like, are you done yet? Is me saying, can we go back to how things were? Like, can we just,
yeah.
Like, can you get up with the kids in the morning so I don't have to now? Whereas, like.
Maybe.
Like, maybe. I don't. That, because that's how life was before.
Yeah.
But I accepted that life was never going to be the same again.
Yeah. And see, I struggled for a long time that life was never going to be the same again in any aspect. Like, I feel like that was harder for me to grasp than anything, was that life was just not going to be the same again.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. And it was a really rough first year without her. Like, really freaking rough. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I was going with that. It literally thoughts fell out of my brain.
But you went through it. Like, yeah. I think that's the thing that I saw the most about you going through that was you went through it.
Yeah.
You didn't avoid.
Yeah. No, I didn't. It's so interesting, though. Like, I feel like in the last 2.5, almost 3 years now, I've gone through these different, like, periods of life where nothing mattered to everything matters to, like, I just want some connection from people to, like, I want connection from no one. Like, it's been a lot of, like, highs and lows and all or nothings. Mm-hmm. And it's really, like, helped me to see what is it that I really want in life and what is it that's really important. So for me, like, after losing her, I kind of shut down to the world, right?
Yep.
And I was just different. But I also feel like I got to a place of being so lonely that I was, like, willing to be friends with almost anybody or allow anybody into my life, which was not typically me.
Nope.
I was very protective of who was in my world, who I shared energy with.
Who was in your circle?
Who was in my circle. And I feel like for a time there, I let just anybody in. Anybody in my energy, anybody in my circle, I'll spend time with that person or this person, even if my gut was screaming at me.
Yeah.
Not to. It was like, I can't deal with that. So I'm going to just ignore it. And I'm going to let everybody in. And it's been so interesting to see me do this, like, pendulum, like, swing from, like, letting everybody in to, in the last year, shutting that all out again and being like, let's reevaluate. We're not just...
Everyone's out now and I'm going to figure it out.
Really, like, that's how it was. Like, this time last year, it was very much that. It was everybody's out and I'm letting them in one by one.
Yeah.
And we're doing a detection of everybody. What's your energy? Are you allowed in here? Because it got so bad that I was like, I was noticing these people I was letting near me and in my circle. And I was just like, ooh, I have let too much in. I've let too many people close to me that should not be.
How did you recognize that?
Like,
what did you start noticing in your life? Which I'll caveat this because this, like you said before, like, this is something that you just did before. You were really, it's not like you to just let anyone in. So maybe you don't, not even aware of how you know, how you knew that you were letting people in that were not for you, that not meant to be in your circle. Maybe it's just an instinctual thing that you do and know.
Yeah.
And can't really put to words. But I guess, what did you start seeing in your life? Like, what showed up?
Honestly, where I started to become aware of it was with Taryn, like, talking to her about being lonely. And, like, she was like, yeah. And you might be lonely for a little bit while you find your people. Like, and I was just like, yeah, but, you know, whatever. Like, I'm just trying to be open to whatever, whoever. And
trying to not judge people.
Trying to not judge. And it wasn't until I had this conversation with her about, like, oh, I don't want to be lonely. And, you know, she was just like, and you might just be lonely for a little bit while you find your people.
Yeah.
that it opened up my eyes. Like, am I letting people in right now who aren't my people? And I just started to sit with it, how I felt around certain people. I had like a couple people who I would see frequently, and it was very distinct, like very distinct. One day it was like totally fine. Then this one moment when we were driving to Pilates together, and they both made a comment about like how dirty my car was, which like
makes like me, it was
like it, but it makes me laugh because anybody who knows me or like has known me knows I'm like OCD clean freak. Mm-hmm. And it's really huge work for me that I would let people in my car being as filthy as it was. Like, it just was what it was. And I was like, whatever. And they both made a comment about, oh, you know, like sometimes like I go to the car wash, you know, and just like clean out my car. You know, like it was like these like backhanded comments of like, hey, you need to clean your car. It's so dirty. Like, yes, I know. I don't just live like this. Like stuff exploded overnight. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It literally like is not always like this, but it was in that moment of them making a comment about how dirty my car was that I was like, ooh, you're not my people. Mm-hmm. Like,
and the thing is, you have people in your life now that could get in your car and laugh at you for how dirty your car is, and it wouldn't feel the same.
No, it felt very like the energy was very like mean girl, like judgy, mm-hmm. like, oh, your car is so dirty.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah. And?
And you have no idea how big it is for me to let you in here right now.
And I'm like, ooh, and you're right. That was a mistake to let you in my car.
Yeah.
It seems like such a small thing.
And it is.
But that was the start of me like starting to listen to myself again. Mm-hmm. And like not be in this like deep grief space where it's like, I just want to connect with anyone because I've been so lonely and like grieving my mom that I'll just be friends with whoever.
Yeah.
And brought me back to this place of like, okay, I'm cutting everybody out. Anybody, friends, church people, neighbors, all of you are, yeah, you're all out. Unless you're a hell yes, you're a hell no.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been really like cool to see since I've done that and chosen to be lonely and like, I'll be by myself. That's fine. Like, I know this is going to suck to cut everybody out, but it's very intentional. Mm-hmm. And doing that, I mean, that was probably right as I got pregnant with Luca that I was doing that.
It was a very lonely pregnancy for you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, a little bit. But I joined my coaching group mm-hmm. and started to slowly, little by little, let people in.
It took a little bit.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
And now look at you. Got all your friends and everything.
I got my girls. Yeah. But even, it's been just a wild grief ride, right?
Yeah.
And all of that to like say that, it's completely changed me. Like mm-hmm. I could never go back to the life I was living before. And I couldn't go back to allowing people in my life like I did before. Mm-hmm. Like it was helpful in the sense that it taught me that I would rather be lonely and in deep grief than had people around me who didn't deserve to be there.
Who weren't for you.
Yeah. Who weren't for me, who weren't willing to see me for who I am.
Yeah.
See all my light and all my dark mm-hmm. and love it all. Mm-hmm. So it's been, in a way, I can say a blessing and I would never wish to have my blessings this way.
Isn't that a lot of blessings, though?
Yeah, but I feel like, yeah, like with loss, like I would almost take anything other than that, you know?
Yeah.
Bless me in any other way.
Challenge me in any other way.
Right.
And the thing is with loss, so cutting people out of your life, there's a grief, a type of grief that comes with that too.
Right, which you get.
Which I get.
You want to speak to that a little bit?
Not really, but I will.
Is this hard for you to talk about?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when someone close to you has been in your life and you choose to not have them in your life anymore.
Mm. It's a different kind of grief.
It's a really confusing grief. Because there's a part of me that's screaming at me to like let them back in. And to give context, like I have intentionally chosen to not be in contact with my parents for the last 2 years. And it is really hard for me to talk about.
Yeah.
It's so conflicting.
Say more about that.
Because I love them.
Yeah.
And I can love them where they're at. I'm learning to love them where they're at. And I can also choose to not have them in my life. And there's so many things that come up for me, even like saying that.
Yeah.
Because we live in a society where it's, no, you just put up with it because the blood.
Or your parents.
Your parents. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get into a lot of details. I think there's obviously two sides to every story. Like they have theirs and I have mine. And that's also like that another part of me that wants to protect them even still.
Yeah, of course.
Doesn't want people to think bad of them because their son has chosen
no contact
to be out of their life. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want people to think bad of them. But then there's this grief of like, I miss them.
Totally. Of course you do.
And it's not all bad, right?
Right.
Like, it's not. And as I've grown and as I've learned to, I don't know what I'm saying.
It's okay.
I've learned that I can, I mean, I was someone who didn't hold boundaries with anyone.
Yeah.
And I heard from therapists, from people, like when you start setting boundaries with people, they act like children, like you're taking something away from them.
Yeah.
And that has been my experience, not just with like my parents, but with a lot of people, even with you sometimes.
Yeah.
They never set boundaries with you. And there's times where I've set a boundary and you act like a child, like,
yeah,
I'm taking away your favorite thing.
Yeah, you, usually. Yeah, I mean, we both experienced the reverse of that.
Right.
Right? It doesn't feel good necessarily to have a boundary
no.
set sometimes.
No. But it's a very confusing grief. There's just so much conflict. And I vacillate back and forth all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But when I come back to my heart, I know what's best for me right now is for things to be where they're at.
Yeah.
And
only you get to feel into that and
yeah.
figure that out.
Yeah. And, you know, for a long time, there was a lot of, I mean, I've done a ton of work on this over the last 6 months, especially mm-hmm. because I was in a place of like a lot of like anger, which I didn't want to be, that it doesn't serve me to stay there.
Yeah.
And it was affecting my life in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've worked through that and found this space where I can love them from afar.
Yeah.
That comes with a really different kind of grief that has rocked me at times.
Well, it's loss.
Yeah.
It's all loss, yeah. right? So it's still that same grief of losing somebody and not knowing if they'll be back in your life again or not.
Yeah. Because I don't know. This isn't a right. thing where it's like, you know, I'm prescribing or sentencing them to 5 years of no contact, right?
Yeah.
I'm just, all I know is right now, this is what I need.
Yeah.
And it's accepting and being willing to stand, to love myself enough to do it.
To stand on an island.
Yeah.
Right?
To be alone.
Yeah.
Just like you said.
To be alone.
Because ultimately that is the root fear for most everyone.
Yeah.
I going to end up alone?
Yeah.
If I do this, will people reject me? And even in sharing this, like yeah. if I share this, will people judge me and reject me?
Yeah.
Like people close to me. Like I have no idea who knows. I have no idea who, if they've told anyone, I don't know.
Yeah.
This could be, you know, news to a lot of people, and that just is what it is. I'm willing to share it because I know that there's people out there that can relate.
Yeah.
And maybe they feel alone, and in me sharing this, they feel seen.
Yeah.
That there is a grief that comes with this, and it sucks.
Yeah. And actually, you know, it's something I can kind of speak to. That loss of a parent who is still alive, because, you know, my situation with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
We actually went no contact for a little bit right after my mom died.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so confusing. Yeah. So I relate to you. It was so confusing to feel like, wait, but this is my dad and he's saying these things and treating me this way. And I just lost my mom. Like, how can my dad be this way?
Mm-hmm.
And as I have gotten very clear on my boundaries with him and very clear on what I needed, what he was, the way he was showing up for that year and a half after my mom died, it just didn't work for me to be around very often.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of things where I had to say, hey, I love you. This is what I can do right now.
Yeah.
And kind of like what you're saying, you don't know what the future holds.
Yeah.
And being 2.5 years from the start of like these boundaries and kind of doing no contact for a little bit with my dad. On this side of it, like, we have a very beautiful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I can have him in my life. And you know, I do feel like there is some safety there because I do, there are still boundaries in place for me. And I feel like looking at a boundary as like it's a gate to let people in, it's not a wall to keep people out, mm-hmm. has allowed me to see a really beautiful side of our relationship.
Yeah.
It's allowed me to invite him in a little bit more and see him really like meet me there.
Yeah. I mean, a boundary is like, hey, if things continue the way that they are,
yeah,
like you will never be in my life again. So yeah. This is a way that I can keep connection with you.
Yeah. Like I never I
can keep some semblance of connection with you.
Yeah. And it's been able, like I've been able to make adjustments to those boundaries mm-hmm. and been able to let him in different ways.
Yeah.
A little more.
Yeah.
You know, like after having Luca, like I never could have dreamed of being able to call my dad and say, hey, I just like really need you.
Yeah.
Like I just had a baby without my mom. And I just need my dad.
Yeah.
And to have him like just come show up for me, help me with my kids. I couldn't have like dreamt of anything more from our relationship. Like it was so beautiful to be able to ask him to meet that need for me.
Mm-hmm. But you had done the work together.
Yeah.
And it's hard work. So it's did not he. Easy. Yeah.
And so did he. To give him some credit.
Oh, 100%.
He has honored me along the way.
Yeah.
And I know it hasn't been easy for him. Mm-hmm. But the way that we've been able to reconnect has been worth it.
Yeah.
Sorry, didn't mean to totally take over on that tangent. But
this is just a conversation.
Just wanted to like share how with boundaries, it's not meant to keep these people out of our lives.
Forever.
No. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
That was never my hope or intention no. with my dad in setting boundaries with him years ago.
Yeah.
It was for the hopes of like a actual healthy relationship to like grow from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah.
So grief's wild.
Grief's wild. Definitely a heavier podcast.
Yeah.
But I think it's needed. It's so needed in the world. Like, it feels like every other month you hear of a friend or an acquaintance, like, losing someone.
Yeah. It, like, pings me a little bit every time I hear something.
Yeah.
It's like this club that none of us really want to be a part of. And yet we are, like, bound by it. Mm-hmm. And there's something so beautiful in that.
Yeah.
Like being able to like see your cousins going through this with losing their mom.
Yeah.
And like it hurts my heart every time yeah. I see something. Because I just see them. Mm-hmm. I see their pain.
You know what they're going through.
I like get it.
Yeah.
And it freaking sucks. To watch people that like you love and care about experience that pain that you went through. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Gosh dang.
We should end this.
It's getting so heavy.
Yeah.
Remaining heavy.
But that right there is exactly why we want to share. Why we chose to talk about this today and why it's so important. And even though it's hard, even though it sucks, even though it's messy as hell. Yeah. Grief is so freaking messy. And it's messy for the people who are trying to show up for you too.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's messy for everyone.
Yeah.
And I think just giving people permission for it to be messy.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Totally.
If people like I showed up messy with you, but it was better than not showing up at all.
Yeah, totally.
You would much rather that, and we'll fight through it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll fight each other through it, but yeah. we'll get there, and it's, yeah.
Yeah. And being like almost 3 years on the other side of this, like I can say I do have more good days than I don't. Mm-hmm. I still think about my mom all the time, but for me,
most days even.
Yeah. Most days feel really good and light. And when I think about her, I think of her like in more fun, happy ways and like light than I do sad.
Yeah.
It's very rare now where I feel like I think of my mom and I just break down. I do still break down,
yeah.
But it's not like it was. No. And I attribute that to me allowing myself to just feel the deep sorrow and pain.
All of it.
And just be there.
Like the gut-wrenching.
Yeah. Just
curl up in a ball.
Yeah. All of it.
Yeah. So, well, with that.
I love you. Thank you for being in that with me.
Always.
Until next time.
Until next time. Thank you for listening. Maybe next time will be a bit more fun.
Yeah. We'll see.
Thanks, everyone.